Isn't that a powerful way? I almost want to say amen and close the service, but I want to emphasize a few things. So let's just have a word of prayer before we do close, and I want to share a few scriptures. Father, thank you so much for what you have shared. Thank you so much for ministering to us and letting us know that there is power in your word. And I pray that as we just recap a few things that you just emphasize with us, that we carry in our hands your word, the power of God. And Lord, I pray that we would not set aside the Bible, that we would not diminish its importance. Lord, that we would raise it up and read it and cherish it. And Lord, that we would share it with others as well. We pray now for your blessing on this time as we look into your word more. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting that Dan shared Isaiah 55:11 because I had that also in my notes. We do have a basket in the back that I'll let you know about. And plus, the cards and different things are great ways to share God's Word with others. As Dan said, $5 per Bible. So 10, 15, 20, whatever it is, 100% goes to the Bibles. And the reason that they're in King James Version, some of you may not understand or realize this, but it's because there's no copyright. And all the other scripture styles have copyright, and so they don't have to pay a copyright fee, and so the Bibles get to be printed at a lesser rate, $5 a piece. And so it's an excellent way to supply that 100 million Bibles they're going to need this next year. So every little bit counts. Not one of the Gideons themselves get a salary or any kind of payback. They spend their own money for everything they do, wherever they go. So it's an amazing organization. And if you're a businessman, retired or not, join the Gideons because they do a fantastic ministry. So Isaiah 55:11, you know, in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it says, "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God's will be done through His Word. And so, you know, as we see that just that simple handing it to someone or sharing it with someone, it has the power to change. In Matthew 24:35, it says that Jesus' words will never pass away. The world is going to pass away, but His word won't. And I just wanted to get to it and read it quickly for you. Matthew 24:35. And in 34, it says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His word, God's word, will never pass away. Isaiah 40, verse 8 also says the word of God will stand forever. And Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide. And it goes to the very heart of an individual. You know, you may not realize it, but when you read God's word, it cuts right through all the lies and all the things that you might be trying to put on, the face, the facade, the whatever it might be. It cuts right through it, and it gets right to the heart of who you are and what you're all about. You know, no hiding behind anything, because God knows exactly what you're all about. And you know, there's some of us, And I say this very delicately, there's some of us that we have been coming to church for a long time. We've been maybe even going to Sunday school, may even be teaching a Sunday school class, may even be involved in kids club, teaching kids in kids club, or doing a lot of things, and we're doing all the actions. We're doing all the actions. We're making it look like You know, we're talking the talk. You know, oh, bless you, and I'll pray for you, and all those things. But inside our heart, we haven't given it to the Lord. We have not turned it over. We haven't yielded our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's a problem with that. Because we know that people are going to stand before God and they're going to say, hey, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I go from town to town? I preached your name. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that for you? In your name, I visited this person. I visited that person. I did it all for you. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You know, I knew a pastor, and unfortunately, there's more. A pastor didn't even believe in Jesus or the Bible. But he took on preaching. Why? Well, because his parents, I'm sure well-meaning enough, told him, you either go to Bible college or we're not paying for your education. And so he went to Bible college. And maybe they felt that he would become a Christian through Bible college. But he didn't. But what he did do is he realized that through his studies and everything and looking at the position or the job, quote unquote, of pastor, that it seemed like a pretty nice job. And so he could speak before people, and he was pretty easy going around people, and he was pretty charismatic. And so he decided to be a preacher and do the job. And so here he is preaching from the Bible and didn't even believe what he was preaching. But, you know, the interesting thing is as people became Christians, they came to Christ. Yeah, how in the world did that happen when he doesn't even believe it? Because the power is not in the person. The power is in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. Now, the power comes through me because Jesus is in me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. And so the power that comes through me is His power, not my power. And the power is in the Word of God. The power is in that Bible. That Bible is placed in those hotels and placed in the hands of different individuals. His Word goes out. And it changes people. I want you to go to John chapter 16, 1644 in your pew Bible, John chapter 16. And we're going to look at a few verses briefly. Verse 7, we're going to start with. Chapter 16, verse 7 says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and the righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, it's not my job, not my position, not my ministry to condemn people or convict them. It's not my position. I merely share the message. I merely share what God tells us, His Word. It's up to the Spirit to convict you, to get into your heart. He's the one that knows everything. He's the one that invades your dreams or invades your thoughts during the day that lets you know that, you know what, you're not living your life right. You know you're struggling an awful lot. You know you're stepping across the line here. It's going to get you in trouble. You know, and we always know. We know what's right or wrong. In fact, Ken Ham, he was a great, he did the Creation Museum and the Ark. You know, he developed all that, Ken Ham. And he was doing a debate with Bill Nye, the science guy. And Bill Nye, you know, talking about all this, you know, evolution stuff. And Ken Ham is talking about creation and morality and how God is in us, you know, and around us. And that we sense that. We know what's right and wrong. And Ken said to Bill Nye, he said, why do you wear clothes? You know, Bill Nye said, well,
it's the right thing to do.
Well, how do you know it's the right thing to do?
If there's no morality, if there's whatever I decide, then why do I follow the morality that I know in my mind and my heart I know is right? You see, here's the kicker. You know that Satan proves there's a God. Do you know that evil proves there's a God? Do you know that lies prove there's a God? Do you know that? Because a lie cannot stand on its own. Truth can stand on its own. But a lie must have truth to be a lie. Got it? You follow me? Evil cannot stand on its own. Good can stand on its own, but good, there's evil and needs good to be evil. If there was no good, there would be no evil, right? And so, if you follow this logic, God is proved out by Satan, by evil, by lies, by all those things. God is proved out. But, you know, Satan doesn't want you to think about that. You see, there's an absolute, and that is God. And His Word is in our hands before us, and we have access to His Word. In fact, it's so amazing. You know, yes, the computers and internet can be used for evil purposes, absolutely, because, you know, that's what happens. But it also can be used for good. I can go into the Google or Bing or whatever, and I can type in just a sentence that I'm thinking about. Like, you know, the counselor or convicting man of sin. I can type in those little phrases and boom, it gives me where those references are. It gives me a concordance. It gives me a commentary. It gives me all kinds of resources that I can study that. And I want to tell you that we sometimes, probably a lot of times, we take this word, we set it on our counter, and we don't look at it for weeks, maybe months, and it gathers dust. And someday we start to get in trouble and we start realizing, oh man, I'm making a mess of myself. And we blow off the Bible and we pull it out and we start reading it. You know, if we realize what it's all about, if you realize how important it is. You know, there was an illustration of a man. He says, I want to hand you, you know, and he start down with the first aisle, and he'd hand them, a book, just, you know, the Bible, and people would look at it and pass it on. And then he says, here, I want to try something else. I'm holding here a Stradivarius. It's worth $100 million, and I'm going to let you guys check it out. And he hands it to the first person. You know how they handled it? They went, you know, don't dare drop it. Don't dare. And you hand it to the next person. And that next person, why do they do that? Why do they handle it like that? Because it's so valuable. It's so valuable. This is God's Word. The God who created the universe sent us a letter to help us in our lives, to give us the power to live our lives in this world. And you know, we just kind of go, okay, yeah, that's great, good Bible, nice book. You know, and I think that we should be treating it way more honorably than that. Wow. The Lord said, I just flipped to Jeremiah 15. The Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster, in times of distress. I'm like, that's the Lord. The Lord said that. God, the creator of the universe, He said that. And I need to hide it in my heart. You know, as Ronaldo shared, he opened that book. He began to memorize scriptures. And he held it close to his heart. And it changed him. We should not be living our regular old lives. We should be living a new life. A life devoted to Jesus Christ. A life devoted to God.
following Him, reading His Scripture, praying, going to studies, doing the things that draw us closer to Him. If you're not, do some heart searching. Ask the Holy Spirit. Seek Him. Know God. You know that one scripture is, "Be still and know that I am God." We aren't still enough to hear our own thoughts, much less to know God. I want to really challenge you on that. And as we close with this final song, you know, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." And look, it says, "All I have needed," not what I wanted, what I needed, "thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Let's all stand and sing this song together. It's up on the screen.